I'm aware that what I'm saying will be controversial, but I am not saying that there should simply be a moratorium on investigations. What I'm saying is, by all means, have an investigation, but not geared towards a criminal justice process. Have it in a context where that information can be used by a tribunal or body to make findings on a standard lower than the criminal standard, and that will have the power to compel those who have information to come forward. The problem with a criminal justice process is, as I've already said, is that I fear that those who are truly culpable in terms of our problematic history will be able to hide behind the safeguards which are understandably made available to those who are criminal suspects.
Well, how would that be greeted by families who have waited decades for justice? Joining me now, Mark Thompson from Relatives for Justice. Morning to you, Mark.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. And Kenny Donaldson's with us from Innocent Victims United. Good morning to you, Kenny.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. What do you think, Mark?
Well, I don't agree with Barra. I know Barra well. I respect him as a lawyer, but I fundamentally disagree with him on this this commentary that he's made. I can understand where he's coming from in one perspective, but what we have, you see, there's a backdrop recently that we've had a consultation on a process that has four key mechanisms, the Stormont House Agreement, agreed by both governments and all the four or five key political parties to the former executive. And that has an oral history archive where people can tell their stories. It has an independent commission for information retrieval, whereby if it's not going to be a prosecutorial route, families can engage with that. They achieve information that Barra's talking about. It is not a criminal process. And it has an implementation and reconciliation group that will look at themes and patterns of the conflict, but primarily and importantly for families right across the community, it has a historical investigations unit, which is a police part investigation with a criminal justice outcome.
But and that's what families the argument. Want. It's well rehearsed, Mark. You know the argument that there's not going to be truth. There are not going to be the answers unless an amnesty is given to those people who hold the secrets.
Well, Stephen, I don't see a queue at any door of people lining up or queuing up. They engage in a process and tell the truth absent of a conviction. That's not the reality out there. Families want truth, they want investigations, and the truth will come out. The truth is coming out. It's coming out. You know, we had Lord Stevens and his reports into collusion. We had the recommendation of 25 people be prosecuted, members of British Military Intelligence, the Force Research Unit and RUC Special Branch. The reality is the political will doesn't exist. And in my view, the history has shown that there's too much political interference. For example, when John Stalker came here to investigate Shoot to Kill in January 1988, after a trial of prosecution of officers had been halted, he intervened in Parliament to say it wasn't in the public interest. Officers who said on the witness stand during that trial that they were ordered by their superiors to commit perjury and lie during the trial, and it was abandoned. John Stephen recommended 25 senior members who were handling agents. And remember, when John Stephens told the parliamentary inquiry, and this isn't of police officers and soldiers who he interviewed, of the 210 people within paramilitaries that he interviewed, 207 were agents out involved in an activity in creating murder.
Kenny?
Well, I have to say, Stephen, I think a lot of people were very bemused by Barra McGrory's intervention and of course, the timing of it. It's always about choreography. Many people look at his tenure whilst he was DPP director, and he certainly would have been viewed as someone who was quite aggressive in his approach around pushing...
Well, he would have been viewed as someone that who was acting within the parameters of his job and someone who was doing his job.
Yes, he would, Stephen, but he's now out of that job and he now has taken done an absolute about flip on it. I think that the point in all of this is that there would be a sense that the two nation states, it would suit both of them very well for Barra McGrory's suggestion actually to come to fruition. That's what the fear is out there within victims. But I have to say there's a critical point in all of this where I'm certainly on the same him page as Mark Thompson on this one, that where there is evidence out there that people should be held accountable for the criminal activities they have been involved in. But what we would say as a constituency which supports victims of terror, we want to know what justice is left to go at, because there has been so much manipulation of the criminal justice system post-1998 with OTR assurance letters, Royal Progs of Mercy, and you could go on ad infinitum. We want to know very clearly who is protected in this process, and it's not enough for weasel words in Parliament. It has to be stronger than that.
And Alex Kane, the commentator, also with this this morning, you know, it might be unpalatable to many victims and their families, Alex, but maybe this is a pragmatic way forward.
The pragmatism works, Stephen, if at the centre of the what's supposed to be a post-conflict society, you have stability, you have understanding, you have common purpose, you have some sort of agreed vision about where you want to go with Northern Ireland, how you want Northern Ireland to be governed and so on. We have none of that. So I think on both sides, I mean, oddly enough, I agree with both Mark and Kenny in that sense, you know, that, and the Secretary of State said it herself when this consultation was launched. She was very specific and said there is no desire in the people of Northern Ireland for a line to be drawn. And John Larkin, I think you remember the reaction to John Larkin's comment a couple of years ago. I heard the reaction to what Barra said on Friday. There is a sense, Stephen, that one part of me is saying it doesn't matter. And I don't mean to sound brutal about that to Mark or Kenny. We're not going to get the absolute truth. We're not going to get justice. We're not going to get reconciliation. We're not going to know all the things. There are too many people with too many vested interests on all sides seeking to protect their own interests, seeking to protect the interests of people who may have had links with them at one point. We're not getting any of that. Just drawing a line on that is not going to work because victims on all sides are not going to be happy with that. And ordinary people, see, ordinary, let's call them ordinary decent people in Northern Ireland, will sort of have this sense, you know, how do you move on in the absence of everything, all the other stuff I talked about, the stability and the reconciliation and so on. Honestly, and this is not an optimistic view to put, honestly, I genuinely don't know how we get what Kenny and Mark are looking for, what ordinary people are looking for. I just don't see it happening. I don't know what they come up with. I just cannot think of the structures that would give them what they want. Even the Stormont House stuff.
Okay, I do believe that the historical investigations unit that's framed in the Stormont House, notwithstanding we're in a consultative period and there'll be issues around it, but notwithstanding that, I do think that is the mechanism. If I can touch on one point, I had talked to a colleague who's an international prosecutor who worked at The Hague, Paul Seals, and he had said that the problem in the North was sometimes the bar was set too high and after people in terms of, you know, say, agent handlers or military people, instead of looking at who is destroying the evidence. For example, post-Patton, thousands of documents relating to hundreds of killings from golf barracks were destroyed under the bogus claim that they were contaminated through asbestos. There was no health and safety certificate and they were destroyed. Evidence, the guns before the, just as the Bloody Sunday inquiry was announced, the week before it started, the guns were destroyed. You know, we see this routinely, and his view and the international view was, let's start shaking the tree, let's go after those people that were perverting the course of justice and destroying evidence, and let's look at that. Sometimes, you know, we're told, oh, you can't have this trial or there's insufficient evidence. We don't accept that in some cases, and we do believe that the people should be put in front of a jury and are judges of their, you know, of the jury of
Alex,
their peers.
That's good. The difficulty with that, Mark, and I can understand that point of view, but if you look, I can't remember the guy's name you mentioned from The Hague and so on, but I mean, I've talked to people about this, the South Africa models, the other post-conflict models. What you have in common with most of them is that there is consensus at the centre. There is a willingness on both sides to accept bad things were done, very bad things were done, sometimes through the state, sometimes through other means, and the collective desire is to find out what went wrong, to reconcile and to make sure it never happens again. My concern in Northern Ireland is that we don't have that. We don't have that collective agreement that we must find out what happened. There's still that sense of it's always the other side's fault. And even with the Stormont House Agreement, you know, and the models you were talking about, the ITU, the implementation stuff and so on, at the end of the day, Mark, it's still a situation where the DUP and Sinn Féin are not, I don't sense, Mark, that they are coming at this with a collective voice. There's almost like a sense we protect the interests of what we deem to be our own side. That's your problem.
Let's see what we're saying at home. Peter. Hello, Peter.
I like to ask Mark Thompson there. I've heard him talking there. To do it, I think everybody's lost some of the troubles, deserve justice. But I'd just like to know, have you yet to hear him mention anywhere where, like, Innes Gillan or at Le Mans, or anything? He always seems to go on about the British government. So is his group called justice for Republicans or justice for everybody?
Well, we work right across the board, so we do with lots of families. And if you could care to go through our website or our Twitter, we've supported loads of families, including Kingsmills families. We've made public statements. So I think you're coming onto the radio and you're just making political points yourself. We're let clear, we're justice for everyone. If there's a criminal justice process and it's applied, no matter who it is, without fear, without favour. That's our position very clearly. We do represent people affected by state violence, and we represent those people. It's the largest constituency of people where a defective impunity was exercised and where there was an absence of justice.
Well, can I ask you a second question?
Quickly, Peter.
Well, do you think that if you want to go to truth everything all around Northern Ireland, do you think the government should do away with the unwritten letters? Because how do you have justice if one part of the world has letters, flawless on Republicans, stop and get trials?
I believe in a process that's fair to everyone, and that includes a process that's established that does away with that. Yes, the simple answer to it is yes, if that's what you want. But do you want the truth about what the British state done to and what loyalism done? Because I presume that you're from one side of the community raising this issue against me.
Well, fair enough,
and we're agreed on that. We're agreed, Peter.
That's okay, mate. Thank you. That's all I wanted to
say. Mark in Antrim. Hello, Mark.
Well, Stephen, I'm sure you're aware there were breaking news headlines today. I just saw on the news app. There's two men arrested for another outstanding archive murder, a young German tourist that was killed 30 years ago. Now, is that qualify as a historical murder? Is it because that wasn't terrorist-related? That'll be continually investigated by the PSNI until they do bring someone to justice. My father was murdered by the Provisional IRA in 1989, and we've never had any deadly squat. Yet the chief constable says, I don't have money to police the past because it's interfering with how I will police the present. I demand the same justice as that family, that young hitchhiker is getting.